Jesus calming of the storms on the sea reveal his power over evil. Since the sea represents evil and chaos, the boat on the sea is a symbol of the church and invites us to trust God amid life's turbulence. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving behind the crowd, they took him with him in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with them. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. As I read through today's gospel story, I began to wonder about the storms in my own life. While there are many occasions that came to mind, one clearly stuck out as a figurative storm as great as the one the disciples faced that day on the sea in Galilee. The great storm of my life had been one of loss in the midst of what was supposed to be a time of entering great joy in our life. Just as the disciples had only started their journey with Jesus, after all, they were only called and anointed within the last two chapters of this gospel. They'd seen a couple miracles and even heard a few parables. It had been pretty incredible so far. And then Jesus suggests a boat trip, and it sounds like a great idea. But this lovely post-parable trip was about to take a turn for the worst. My storm hit almost 6 years ago, as Pastor Josh and I were preparing to meet our firstborn, our son Josiah. We were entering the any day now stage of pregnancy, and at one of our routine prenatal appointments, the storm struck. We received the news that every expecting parent fears the most, and our hope turned to despair as we planned for Josiah's funeral. I could completely relate to the disciples' fearful cries, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" At the time, Josh and I had our own versions of these questions, the same as anyone does when a storm hits your life. God, how can this be happening? Why is this happening to me? Where are you in this? Do you care? Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? In the ancient world, water represented chaos. Waters were the place of the uncontrollable. Whether in the Psalms talking about sea monsters or in the floods, water seemed to be a beast of its own. So this storm was something to be feared. As the narrator of Mark describes, the waves weren't just beating on the sides of the boat, they were getting in and swamping the boat. And as the storm of uncontrollable chaos got into the boat, the disciples quickly seemed to forget all the healings that had just occurred and the casting out of demons. But can you blame them? Their boat is about to go under, and the great one who had been doing all these amazing acts, and the one who suggested they take this boat ride in the evening, is sleeping through the whole thing. Jesus is comfortably snoozing on a pillow in the stern of the boat. But finally, the frightful panic of the disciples wakes Jesus, and he rebukes the wind and the waves. The storm is calmed. The water stops raging, and the winds cease. And while our English translation doesn't seem to make the most of what Jesus did. It sounds like he stopped the storm. The Greek word for it actually looks like Jesus overcame the storm. Jesus' power to bring peace was greater than that of the storm's power to rage on. After calming this storm, Jesus turned to the disciples and questioned their fear and their faith. Why are you afraid? Are you still of no faith? And rather than answer or even consider Jesus' questions, the disciples begin to fear a whole new thing. Their new friend has somehow controlled the uncontrollable. The healing of the sick must have seemed like a nice gesture, and the casting out of demons may be a cool party trick. But this guy is taking on the uncontrollable, the places where chaos is born and evil strives. And not only that, he is overpowering them. Now, the storms of our life may hit without warning. Whether the first lightning crashes are felt in a doctor's office, or realizing that a relationship is reaching a breaking point, the answering of a phone call, or anything else, the figurative storms are just as much part of life as the storms that the disciples faced are part of the natural world. These things just happen. And just as sure as they happen, God has given us the faith to get through them. Jesus calms the storm not by a measure of the disciples' faith. Jesus calms the storm not because the disciples did a certain number of good works or prayed the right way. Jesus calmed the storm because that is what Jesus does. Just as in the beginning of the gospel, it says, they, the disciples, took him into the boat just as he was. This is just what Jesus does. And likewise, Jesus meets us just as we are, wherever we are at. He woke up to calm the storm and didn't tell the disciples that he would do it if they asked nicely or talk to them after they were calmed down, like adults do to children. Jesus calmed the storm and meets them where they are, and then asks them, why are you afraid? And what about your faith? That is who Jesus is and what Jesus does. My storm of loss began to calm at my son Josiah's funeral. As the pastor read the gospel of Jesus telling the disciples, let the little children come to me, the storm in my heart began to calm. Just like Jesus telling the seas and the wind, peace be still. It's not that Jesus' words took away the storm or whatever had been happening, but like the words of God spoke created the universe back in Genesis, the words that Jesus speak create something new. Whether saying peace be still, or let the little children come to me, these words do something. I imagine as Jesus spoke these words of peace, the disciples still had water in their boats and waves crashing in. Jesus' power for peace is greater than the storm's power for chaos, pain, and destruction. But it had become stilled and was overcome. At this moment, billions of storms are raging for billions of people. The magnitude of these storms vary. Storms from depression and addiction raging against a person's soul, or the tragedies affecting a family, to storms of detained children of God, both young and old, separated and scared after weathering storms from back home, only to get to the borders, to the land of opportunity. The storms rage and the winds ravage. As people, we tend to not realize the severity or detriment of a storm until the water is spilling into our boat, or if we can relate and have been in that boat before. But Jesus is different. Jesus is acting to bring us peace in the midst of the storm and invite us and the disciples to a new fear. The disciples find themselves asking, who is this that even the winds and the seas obey him? This fear is not one of being afraid. It is holy awe. One that you experience as you just realize you are in the presence of something much greater than yourself. God's greatness for peace meets us in the midst of our great storms and overcomes the things that keep us from faith. God gives us faith to get through the storms of our lives. This story of the storm opened with Jesus inviting the disciples, "Let's go across to the other side." And each and every day and moment, Jesus calls us this way too. Come across to the other side. Not one of fear of the storm, fear of the chaos, or fear of what may seem uncontrollable. Come across to the other side, where faith is what guides you, peace is what's promised, and unending love and grace is what the seas and wind beat upon our hearts. Amen.